glimmer, glimmer, lead us.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned into KVNF's live call-in gardening show. It's me, Jill Spears, your host, here with my favorite gardener. Guess who? It's Lance Swaggart. Yeah.
Good evening. How are you?
Doing fabulous tonight, Lance. And you?
Good, good. I shoveled and moved snow all day.
Yeah, as did many of us here in the North Fork, at least. Mm-hmm. Would love to hear from a caller maybe down in the southern part of our listening area that could tell us what went down there.
Well, I did talk to a friend this morning. They had five inches in Ridgeway.
In Ridgeway. Yeah. Okay. 5 inches, really? That's all?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we had at least 5 inches here in town. At least the shoveling felt like that.
It's good to see.
It is great to see and really enjoying it. And we want to remind you, it's a call-in show. We're live here in the midst of January, the depth of winter. Jeff's in there ready to field your phone call, 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. You can email at worm@kvnf.org. All right. Loving that snow and moisture, and you're shoveling out of necessity, but any other tips or tricks that you want to think about or remember?
One of the things I will do, because I shovel and actually wheelbarrow a lot of the snow out of my driveway parking area, especially the north side of the house, and I take that snow and put it underneath my trees.
Okay. So just give it that little extra.
Moisture and stuff. And another, I've done this from time to time when I have a lot of snow, is I actually put extra snow underneath the apricot trees, hoping that it will cool the ground a little bit more.
Try to give it a little keep them cooler slow, factor.
Yeah, so they slow down a little bit.
Yeah, there you go.
And those, that's all I'm really doing it.
All right. The moisture is a great thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if you can do that, that's a wonderful thing.
Put it around all the different trees and stuff that I can get to.
Sure. Awesome. Okay, so we're enjoying that snow and moisture because you know at any time it could turn into warm sun. but I do have an email here. This is a big fan from Connecticut.
Okay.
He streams the program every week on NPR and has a question about saving seeds. And we've been talking about saving seeds and are going to continue that vein over the next few weeks. But saving seeds from brassica crops. Looking to designate part of his garden this season for crops that will raise for seed. Among other crops, he plans to include heirloom varieties of cabbage, radish, turnips. Concerned he may run into problem of cross-pollination between them. Is this likely with the brassicas? Do you have any recommendations? Should I only choose to do one crop to save from seed each year? Marc-André in Connecticut.
In Connecticut.
Good evening.
First of all, you have to look at the list of, if you get a, let's see, John DeVazio's book, Organic Seed Growers.
Okay.
And other organic seed growers. But anyways, they have a list of all the brassicas. And some of the brassicas, most of them are, if I could pronounce it, Olera. It starts with an O, but some of them have, and anything with that name will cross. So your cabbage, your broccoli, your cauliflower, your kale, they'll all cross. But mustards are different, and radishes are different. And so you could grow a radish with a cabbage or broccoli, but those the broccoli and cauliflower and cabbage, they're all in the same family, and they will cross.
They will cross.
Yeah, so you have to do one each year.
Okay, so that's the question there. They will cross.
And you have to have 10, 15, 20 plants if you can. And brassicas are not self-fruitful.
Meaning?
The flowers on one plant will not pollinate that same plant. They have to have...
Other plants
of the same variety.
Okay.
But they're not self-pollinating.
Okay, so that gets back to the whole seed-saving thing is you do need a lot of plants for the diversity and to go with the seeds. The more, the better.
The more, the better. Mm-hmm. And if you have room for 25 plants, that's really the minimum You know, you can get by with 20, but the reality is 25 is better or more.
Okay.
And that's genetic diversity that you're...
Genetic diversity. That's what I was looking for.
And also, you know, well, there's different areas of the... Say you're doing broccoli. You're probably going to want the seed higher up on the plant. More so than the side shoots. Where cabbage, you're probably going to want mid to lower.
Okay, so explain that, because we've talked about that in the past But it's you're picking that because...
Certain parts of the plants correspond to the actual plant, that the vegetable. Okay, so if you want flower production, then you're probably going to pick farther up the plant, the seeds off the top. The side shoots, if you take all side shoots, you're probably going to get more leaf and not much flower. This is broccoli we're talking about.
Sure.
Cauliflower would be the same thing. Cabbage, you wouldn't want those tops because it'd be all leaf. And no cabbage. So you'd probably want the mid-range down to the lower.
Oh, okay. So be picky about what seed you decide to select.
Yeah. And you might, because they're indeterminate, in other words, they'll keep on blooming as long as they got water and it hasn't frozen. So some of these plants, you might just cut the tips off at a certain point.
Once they've grown out and they've gone to seed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you might cut, because they'll just keep on going. And then you cut off water.
Right. And it's always cutting off water, isn't it? A little bit, drying it out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, yes, lots of cross-pollination can happen. But you can get that list of brassicas, either seed catalog or
seed-saving books.
And seed-saving they'll say books.
Mm-hmm. Anything that's, even though it says cauliflower, broccoli, cauliflower, they're still going to be in the Brassica olearia. Mm-hmm. Family, and those will all cross-pollinate.
Yeah. All right. I think that's clear. Thank you, Lance. And thank you, Mark Andre, for your question from Connecticut. Wonder what kind of garden he has out there, what he's growing. You know, well, obviously, he wants to grow brassicas. That's kind of a Lulu question. That's her neck of the woods.
Yeah, that's where Lulu's from.
That's a whole different zone.
I'm a Southern California beach boy.
Yeah, ending up in the dry, high desert of Colorado. Okay. Lots of zones out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And there's stuff going on, I know, with everybody that's listening. So 970-527-4868, 1-866-KVNF. Now, Lance, you've been working on pruning your hedge grove.
I'm pruning the hedge grove. Actually, it's thinning it.
Thinning it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is where I get all, I don't know if it's a mistake or not, but there's the choke cherries have done really well.
Oh.
And they really spread. And so I thin them. And this is where I get all my posts for trellises, bean poles, stuff like that. It was just... I didn't realize this was going to happen. And so I got all these great posts. Every year I get probably about 100.
Nice little sticks and,
You know, so I have plenty of material to make trellises and grapevine things. And
okay. And where is your hedge grove? Is that situated around your garden?
It's around the outside of the edge of the garden.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you're just thinning it. Yeah.
I'm thinning it. There's some. I pruned it pretty hard in places last year, so I don't need to do that much.
Are the choke cherries part of that hedge grove?
Choke cherries are part. There's choke cherries, there's Russian carragana, there's some eastern red cedar. I just dug up seedlings out of a yard.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, there's forsythias, there's lilacs, there's Nanking cherry, there's some wild plums, there's a wild apricot in there, Austrian copper rose, and Persian yellow rose. Those are hedge roses.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to think of, I know there's some crab apples in there.
So you built this hedge grove yourself. And what was your mission there? And what did you want
to
accomplish?
I always liked the idea of it. Just reading over the years, I always, you know, you read in Europe, they all had hedge groves around their gardens. And that was before fences.
Okay,
barbed wire fences.
I like that.
Barbed wire fences. So the hedge groves in those areas were so thick that it kept the cattle and sheep out.
Wow.
And if there's deer or something. Mm-hmm. Mine's not that thick, and I have a fence up, too.
Oh, but, you do have a fence stuck in there, sure.
But it's also privacy and windbreak. And those choke cherries, the insects really love it when it blooms, and the birds really like it when they're ripe.
Right, right.
You know, and there's the Russian carrigana, the bees, and bumblebees has a yellow pea flower.
Nice.
And they really go after it. So there's
a lot of advantages to pollination. And,
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of...
sounds fabulous.
Yeah, other things that are in there. Oh, somehow or another, I got a sour cherry in there. So a bird came by and dropped the seedling. And I have a very nice sour cherry in there.
Nice.
And the other thing that's happening is, it didn't last year, but the year before, 4 years in a row, I had magpie nest in there.
Really?
Yeah. And they're, you know, I know some people don't like magpies, but I actually like them. And they actually kept all the other little birds that tear up my beds and eat the seedlings. So
all right.
In some ways, I actually like them having them.
I like having them too.
Yeah.
So, and I think a lot of people do like them, just as many people like them as don't.
Yeah.
Here's to the magpies.
Yeah. They're actually quite social animals.
They are. And they live a long, long time.
Yeah.
Super smart. Super duper smart.
Yeah, I saw them. Let's see. The first year I had one. The next year I had one nest. The next year I had two. So the babies came back. And
oh, really?
The last time that I had, not last year or the year before, I had four magpie nests throughout, not just one in the garden, but they were in the juniper trees outside my fence.
Really?
Yeah.
And that worked okay for your garden. It wasn't a nuisance?
No.
It was?
Mm-hmm. No, they, not a problem.
Yeah. Well, they're out there right now, caulking and having a good time. I love hearing them. And just in mentioning birds, I did see a robin already this year, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah. It was just before this last snow, I was actually underneath my mulberry trees. The grass was green.
No kidding.
I'm saying, why did the snow melt there? And why is the grass still green? But the robins and other little birds were just having a grand time digging through that grass.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. When the snow starts to melt, you can hear the little birdies just going crazy out there in the shrubs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know where they're hiding right now, but we love you, little birdies.
Yes.
All right. So 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. Questions, comments, thoughts about gardening. So you mentioned the mulberry trees, and that's your next project.
Yeah.
Because you've got some beautiful mulberry trees.
They're huge. And
huge.
I'm going to thin them out some, you know, to, I haven't pruned them in probably, or even, I haven't pruned them for five to 8 years. And I'm actually going to take out some bigger branches and stuff. And what I'm doing is I need to thin them out because when I planted those mulberries, they were only 6 inches tall. And I planted.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I had two rows of grapes. Well, now the grapes aren't growing so well because these trees are huge.
So and they're kind of sucking all the energy?
Sunlight, water, energy, you name it, they're doing it. And so I'm having a two-year project that within 2 years, I'm actually going to take those mulberry trees out.
Oh, so you're going to start with thinning them.
Thinning them this year. And I got some seedlings in the garden, and I'm going to plant them outside the garden.
Oh, really?
And because the other thing that's happening is their roots are invading all of my planting bents. 50, 25, 50, you know, 60 feet outside of the drip line, the roots of the mulberry trees are there.
Okay.
And
so
they're really stunting the growth of my annual beds.
All right. So you're going to take those out and replace them with
nothing.
Nothing.
I might put another row of grapes in between because there's enough room. You know.
And are you going to miss that shade or are you concerned about any of the?
No.
Ready to go.
Yeah. What I might just do if I'm feeling, what do I want to say, creative or whatever, is to make the whole thing a pergola.
Oh, nice.
You know what a pergola is?
Yeah,
It's a high grape trellis.
Oh, nice.
And then you have your shade and you have your grapes too.
That sounds like a good plan because those trees are pretty big.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And would you recommend planting mulberries somewhere else? I mean, we're talking earlier about when Clearwater was on the show, mm-hmm. we were talking about forest gardens and how mulberries can be part of the level is that?
Yeah, I was listening to that show, and that was just one tree that Wynn had did not mention mm-hmm. as mulberries. I would they can get big, and
they can get big,
and they can get obviously the root structure is quite large and stuff. So you would have to maybe put it on the north side so it's not shading so much.
Okay,
you know, or maybe in the exact middle and plant everything around it. You know, mm-hmm. it's your imagination, but generally I would put it on the north side.
Mm-hmm.
And the other things, there was a couple other trees that I thought about.
In a forest garden?
Forest mm-hmm. garden was almonds. Wherever you grow peaches, you can grow almonds. So you can do those. And then...
Is that like a flowering almond bush or is that an actual almond tree? An almond tree.
And mm-hmm. the almond trees that you grow here will not get as big as the ones in the Central Valley of California.
Uh-huh.
Because those guys are probably 18 to 2 foot trunks.
Oh my goodness.
And they're as big as my mulberry trees, if not larger.
Oh my goodness. And is that just because of water altitude
and,
or
and growing season and stuff like
growing
that?
Season,
it's
sure.
not gonna happen here.
Okay.
And stuff. They're gonna be the size of a large peach tree.
Okay. And is that a pretty predictable crop that you're gonna get almonds each year?
Well, it's actually better than apricots.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but
a little more reliable.
Yeah. They bloom a little bit later and stuff. You just have to play with the varieties. Because the hard part for them here is a hard winter. Once they get established, mm-hmm. then they're okay. But it's those first couple years.
Getting them through.
Yeah, getting mm-hmm. them through. Yeah. And the other thing I was thinking of in that forest garden was hazelnuts, filberts.
Oh, really? Yeah. We can grow hazelnuts here.
Hazelnuts, they're in Canada. And the problem for us growing hazelnuts or filberts is too much sunlight. So you need to have some shade canopy. They're not big shrubs mm-hmm. or trees, so they could be underneath these bigger trees.
Ooh, I like that idea.
And the hazelnuts are the
North
American cousin to the filbert. And they're more of a shrub and put up suckers. Whereas the filbert, European filbert, is a small nut tree.
Okay. So you say you can grow them here. Can you find those in a nursery?
Yes.
Really? So
you can find them in catalogs, yes.
Oh, find them in catalogs.
Yeah.
All right. And you're looking for something then that's in order to grow here. What's the special requirement in the catalog?
Well,
they
need three different varieties for proper pollination.
Oh,
not
really?
Not two. They actually need three. So they usually sell them in packages of three.
And so if you've got a shady spot where you can put
under
three
some
different
big
shrubs.
Deciduous trees because
sure.
they grow in deciduous forests in the east and up into Canada.
All right. Well, there's back to your forest garden. And about mm-hmm. how big do those get? Like a mulberry tree or a smaller?
No. They'll get the filberts will probably get at best 8 feet.
That's still a pretty good size for hazelnuts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. That sounds yummy. Mm-hmm. That's some good nuts to think that you can grow. Almonds, hazelnuts, walnuts. Right here.
I've seen pecans, but pecans you have to really search to get the right variety.
The right variety.
And they really like deep soil.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'll take those nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. So much for seeds.
So much for nuts and seeds.
Yeah.
Okay, let me give you the phone numbers, and we'll talk a little bit about what's coming up in the show. 970-527-4868, 1-866-KVNF, now worm@kvnf.org. And last week we had Sarah Smith here from Delta County Libraries, and she runs the seed library
mm-hmm.
over there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always great to have her on the show, and lots of events coming up there. And Lance, we talked a little bit about what's coming up in general with seed saving. Next week, we're going to have Don Leroux from Zephro's Farm
mm-hmm.
here.
Yeah.
And what are we going to be talking about? More seed saving.
More seed saving. There's actually going to be a workshop that we're going to be putting on. I'm actually going to be participating. I'm not putting it on. And It's going to be the first Wednesday of every month from March to November. And it's called...
Oh, my goodness.
It's called Seed to Seed, and we're going to start with planting seed and taking care of them and all that kind of stuff to harvest and cleaning seed.
So it's really a full-blown course.
Yeah, it's a full...
taking you from...
It's not just a week thing.
It's, yeah, it's nine months.
It's 9 months hands-on.
I'm going to have me a baby seed.
and it's going to be some at my place. Mainly, I think we're meeting at Rogers Mesa Research Station.
Awesome.
And we're going to be able to plant some stuff there. Let's see what else we'll meet at, I think, Mark Waltemeyer's on Thistle Whistle on Hanson Mesa.
Mm, okay.
Probably Donna Daphne's Zephyr Rose.
Sure.
Pat Frazier's probably. Laura Parker down in south of Montrose.
Oh, my
goodness. And she has a seed company.
Great. So an opportunity to see a lot of the great gardens and farms that are going on. And, oh, that's fabulous. So how can people find out a little bit more about that?
Let's see. The websites for the Learning Council.
Okay.
Voga and Slow Foods Western Slope all have this because they're the ones that are
sponsoring that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they all have the websites. And so you can go on there and look it up. Seed to Seed.
Okay, and that's going to start in March.
March, I think March 6th.
The first Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
And there are $50 scholarships available.
Okay, super. All right, so we'll try to get, I'll get those specific websites for everybody, but you can Google that right now and just mark your calendars for the first Wednesday of each month, March through November. And, wow, that's awesome. That's really...
Yeah, it's going to be pretty neat.
It's going to be really neat. And the chance to get to go to all of these great farms and gardens around the areas is wonderful. And so a lot of stuff may be happening here in the North Fork, and don't let that discourage anybody in the south end of the listening area, because there's some good stuff up here.
Yeah.
All right. 970-527-4868-1866, KVNF Now. Another thing happening in just a couple weeks is the movie at the Paradise here in Peonia, the Paradise Theater.
Yeah, it's a movie. I think it's a Monday evening, the 4th. Seeds of Time, and it's about the man that came up with the idea and developed a big seed bank up in Norway in the Arctic Circle, somewhere up there. So that's what that's going on.
All right. So kind of a good background and overall kind of. The seed saving thing is really getting exciting. I can just feel the momentum getting bigger and bigger every year as we talk about it.
There's
great.
More people doing it, and even if they're making just two plants, you know.
Yeah, and I guess just the thing is that it gives you control over your food supply in the big scheme of things.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's a wonderful thing, folks.
Anyways, well, you want to just get into some of these seeds?
Yeah, you wanted to talk about annuals.
We can just
biannuals.
Do annuals.
Sure.
We can just start with that.
Let's start with that.
Annuals. And so, you know, annuals are plants that you put the seed in the ground, and by the end of the season, they've gone to seed.
Okay.
Okay. And I have just a list of not all, but these are just common vegetables.
Okay.
Lettuce, spinach, mustard greens. Beans, corn, squash, melons, cucumbers, peppers, tomatoes, eggplant, and there's, you know, your different herbs, cilantro and dill, and parsley.
Mm-hmm.
Parsley is a biennial, excuse me. Radishes, broccoli, and cauliflower. And they all have different needs and stuff like that. Lettuce, we'll just start at the top. Lettuce is self pollinating, and you probably could grow 4 or 5 varieties of lettuce in your garden. As long as they got about 10 feet, 15 feet apart.
Uh-huh. They don't cross-pollinate.
They don't cross-pollinate.
They're self-pollinate.
There's maybe a little bit, but, and they also this is a funny thing about lettuce is they do better if they go into the seeding process when they start to bloom and stuff, dry.
Yeah. I've heard you mention that pretty consistently.
Yeah,
lettuce likes that dryness.
A little bit more dry.
Yeah, super. Hey, we have Sue from Ridgeway on the line with some news. Good evening, Sue.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you this evening?
Doing fine. I heard on the I was on the call on the beginning of the show, but did you ask something about down here?
What was it? Somebody said 5 inches
five
or
inches
something?
5 inches of snow down there.
No, it was more than that.
Okay.
Okay.
That's definitely. Just what,
but it was,
give us
it
the
was
news.
Super light and fluffy. It was really feathery today.
Oh,
sweet.
Okay.
Yeah, it was beautiful last night and clear, and then woke up this morning to some pretty serious snow, but it was really feathery.
Oh, wow. Beautiful.
And it's gorgeous. It looks really beautiful. But I was going to mention, too, while you were talking about different events, the Food Farm Forum in Montrose is this coming weekend.
Okay. Tell us
Friday
about that.
Friday and Saturday. And there's some, I don't know, some of the classes are full, but I think a couple of them are still open. But I think it's foodfarm.org, I think. And so there's a lot of folks talking about water and about farming and about, you know, all different kinds of stuff. And that's in Montrose at the new event center and a couple other locations, too, I think.
Okay, so that's happening this weekend. You can probably find information maybe even at the Montrose Event Center if you
Google
that.
Yeah, I think so. And you guys have been running a PSA, so I think there might be something on the website. Too,
oh,
so.
Perfect. Yeah. Yep. Should have hooked that into the show. Thank
yeah,
you for doing
you
that, Sue. Right on. You're always
you
have great information, and thanks for the weather report.
Absolutely. Always good on weather. Let me know when you need it.
Okay, perfect.
All right.
Enjoy.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, it was fabulous to wake up to the snow this morning here in Paonia, and the skies just before sunrise were awesome with that moon that was out.
Yeah. Yep.
And clouds still, but you could see the little blue coming. Yeah, it's really gorgeous.
Is it nice? Well, we had quite a bit of breeze this morning.
It was breezy.
And that was an interesting walk this morning.
Yeah, it was. Your mustache is frozen.
No. Yes, it was. Not now.
Got you, Lance.
Yes.
All right. We can take another call, 527-4868-866-KVNF now. Lance, have you finished all your projects about cleaning your grain?
No.
Quick answer.
No. I still have the acorn from 2 years ago.
Okay.
Stuff. But I will get
That's all right. Yeah. Because you got plenty of other grain that you can suffice with.
And if I can't get it hold, it's going to, sorry to say this, chicken food.
You know, chickens need love, too.
They
give us so much back. So.
Yeah. So.
And they'd be happy.
And they'll be happy. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But. And are you working on your food storage pit? Are you
Oh, I'll get into it in next week or so. I got so much in there. You know, that it's it'll be a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's, like I said, there's still plenty of food in there. I haven't even got the one finished. Maybe I'll finish it in the next week or two and stuff.
Okay.
Just pull everything out. And
right. And you've been sharing these fantastic plums with me over the last few weeks. French prune plums?
The French prune plums.
Mm-hmm. And this year, I don't know what you did, but they're so meaty. I think you...
I didn't let them dry as much.
As much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they're so good. They have so much meat on them. And you just stewed some of those.
Yeah. Those are actually the ones from 2 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, that were really hard.
Oh, my gosh.
And they turned out really good.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
That's what food storage can do for you, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. That is really great. Thank you for sharing that. All right. So next week, it's Don Leroux from Zephros Farm and Garden here and talking about seed saving. I know he's really gotten into that lately and always energetic and fun to have on the show. So tune in for that next Tuesday at 6:30. And Lance will be here, of course.
Yeah. And we'll continue our conversation with seeds.
Yeah. Sounds great. All right, it's One Woman's Perspective coming up next. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
All right, stay warm.
Pocket master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, low, little low and low.